We're going to talk tonight about just who we are as a church. And like for those of you who were here last week, we talked about like just be praying into what does it mean to be the church together? What does it mean to do that? And we spent some time this morning at the first Sunday of every month. People who say, hey, like we are committed. This is our church family. We want to grow. We want to be equipped. We have what we call a leaders brunch the first Sunday of every month. If you're interested in that, the only thing we ask is that you make a commitment not to just come this month and not come next month. It's a commitment to come. Like we do one for the spring, one for the summer, one for the fall. So if at all possible, that means like we change our plans to try to be there. You know, it's like it's important so that we don't end up with a different group every week. But today we spent some time talking about what it means to be the church, and we talked about the importance of being able to know what it means for us to follow Jesus as individuals, right? How many of you know it's important to have a relationship with Jesus that transforms your life on a daily basis? I mean, that's the power of the gospel. Romans chapter 1, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the power of the gospel. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God for salvation. And I don't know if you know this or not, but like I need that power in my life on a daily basis, not just once. Mm-hmm. I need ongoing, continual interaction with the gospel of Jesus. It's the good news about Jesus that makes me want to know him more, want to love him. So I come to Jesus, I'm born again, but then I don't stop. That's just the beginning, right? Mm-hmm. We come to Jesus, that's just the beginning of a relationship. That word power there in that passage is the word dynamite. It's the word dunamos. And I don't know, have you ever seen dynamite work? Mm-hmm. It moves things. Right? So if you've had an experience with the good news of Jesus and you've been left unmoved, I would just encourage you that was an inferior encounter with the good news of Jesus. Because we do not plant dynamite under Amy Rumbaugh and then watch it go off and see her go, yeah, it wasn't really doing anything for me. One of the saddest things I've ever heard, and unfortunately I've heard it, is I tried Jesus and it didn't work. And I will tell you that like maybe we did a bad job sharing Jesus with you, because if you've tried the power of God, if you've experienced the saving grace of Jesus, like it does change us. It does move us. So we talked this morning about the need to have this relationship with God that is like individual. But at the same time, we see all throughout the scripture this tension of like this relationship that God wants to have with his people together. As a matter of fact, a lot of my favorite scriptures that I used to kind of quote to try to like, you know, buffer my own relationship with God, like I've since found out are verses that he actually speaks to us collectively, not just me individually. Like how many of you know there's a teaching like that the church is the bride of Christ, right? Mm-hmm. Do you know that I'm not the bride? Mm-hmm. But we are the bride. Not me, but all of us. We looked this morning at Ephesians, and there's just about in every chapter, there's these gripping verses about how we're being fit together, joined together. You can't be fit by yourself. Like, for whatever reason, the one piece puzzle never cut on. And it's actually, as you know, it might be okay for a toddler to give it like those big kind of 9-piece puzzles, you know? But it's like people who really love puzzles don't like love 9-piece puzzles. So the more we grow in maturity, the more we understand what it means to be connected to each other, what it means to be fit and joined together. And so we take that seriously. So for the last month, we've been having a time of like both reviewing who we are together and then also trying to say, hey, this is an idea of where we want to grow together tonight. So if you're here, like this is the first time that you've been here during this last 4 weeks, we're going to try to do just about 5 minutes of review. We will be happy to answer any questions. The way we do things is a little bit different, and it's not done in order to be different. We are doing our very best to try to follow Jesus Christ and try to do that in a way that's real. Sometimes we fail. Sometimes we fail the way we love each other. But that doesn't change the fact that we want to be a part of fulfilling the promise of Jesus, that the way the world will recognize each other or recognize you is by the way you love each other. Okay? So, 3 weeks ago, we started our time together celebrating the value of sending. And we did that by doing two things. One, we read some scripture. We looked at Acts 11, 12, 13. We looked at scriptures about the church at Antioch. And for those of you who know what our church name is, people call it AOX. It's actually the Antioch Overflow Experiment. the reason why, yeah, you're like, what? What in the world? I've never. It's the third Antioch Overflow Experiment Church, yeah. Third Baptist Church, we just don't have a third AOH, yeah. How'd you get it? Antioch was the first place in Scripture where the gospel crossed cultures. It says that the gospel had been preached to the Jews only, but when they came to Antioch, they began to preach also to the Greeks, to the Hellenists. And when that happened, it says the hand of God came on them. When the hand of God came on them, many people gave their life to Jesus. And in Antioch was also the place that as that church grew, matured, there was a time that the church in Jerusalem, that the elders in Jerusalem sent Barnabas to come check it out, make sure they were okay. And as he did, he left after he had been with them and ministered to them, and he went and found this guy, Saul. And it was actually in the church of Antioch that Saul gets changed to Paul. And the reason why we were so attracted to that community was because it was also in that community that as they're ministering to the Lord together, they heard God say, set aside Paul and Barnabas for the work that I have for them. So we have a dream in our heart to not just be a place where we gather people together, but what we want to do is as we like grow in loving Jesus and loving each other and loving people who don't know Jesus, so we actually become a place with a heart to send people out. So that's why we talk about Antioch. And we taught about that, and then we also celebrated it by actually sending three young women that we love very much, sending them away from here. One, very short term, Jessie, who is one of on our core leader team, is in Denver right now. She is, she's getting ready to enter her third week of a teaching English as a second language school in Denver, and we are praying for her. Love her. Got to see her just for a few minutes on Friday on FaceTime, and she looks so beautiful and so happy. And saw some good like social media updates yesterday that she seemed to be having a good time. She had one. There's a picture. She said the most beautiful place I've ever seen. Someone built me a house here, so I thought, okay, that sounds like an invitation. I'm just saying. And then, as I was meditating on that tweet, I got another one on my phone that said, "Eating elk jerky while watching the elk graze." Ironic. So we sent Jesse to Denver, very short, temporary, kind of go learn and then come back. And we are praying how we could use that and incorporate that piece into what we do together. But then we also sent off and released our friends Jasmine and Rachel, who've been a part of our community. Jasmine from, I think before there was an AOX, there was relationship with Jasmine. She was on campus at Robert Morse University. And she and her friend Rachel, who's also one of our friends, I've been traveling and sensed that there was a transition to Philadelphia. And so we prayed for them. We actually tried to follow what the scripture teaches. And we took time to pray and try to hear from God. And then we laid our hands on them. Not because there's anything in our hands. There's like, there's nothing happening. As I laid my hands on Rachel, that happens because I have some kind of like electric, valve in my hand. But it's act of humility and faith to say that when we lay our hands and just follow the model of Scripture, follow the teachings of Scripture. When we lay our hands and we pray and send them off, it says in Acts that when they had prayed and sent them off, being sent out by the Holy Spirit. So one of our dreams in our hearts as a sending community is to send people out and have that equal that they're being sent out by God. How many of you ever either been in a situation yourself, have you known someone that they got a great idea and they went and did it by themselves and it didn't turn out so well? Anybody else? I've done that. Almost ended up bankrupt. Not because God wasn't good, not because I didn't have a good vision, but I did it on my own. So really just want to be in a place where we're not like sending people to go change the world on your own. Mm-hmm. But we're saying, hey, yeah, we have a message inside of us of following Jesus. And if you want to follow Jesus, it's going to be life-changing, whether it's shaking a nation or whether it's raising godly kids. Mm-hmm. How many of you know that if we raise enough godly kids, it'll take the nations? Seriously.
Yeah.
One of the greatest things we can do is like see the family transformed. In order to do that, though, I believe it's very important we do that together. So that was 3 weeks ago. Then 2 weeks ago, Gabe shared. Can you share about this morning? Gabe shared the value of covenant relationships. We talked about the social covenant we have, which is, does anybody remember what the four parts of the social covenant are? Confrontation.
Accountability.
Accountability out of relationship.
Purity.
Purity and honor. And we said that what that really means is we're agreeing together ahead of time about how we're going to treat each other. Based on things we see in Scripture. Turn back to 1 Peter 1 real quick. You want to share about what happened this morning about the text? I don't know what happened, but about the text that you sent Jesse and Adrian and I.
So it's really cool to see God doing, starting things here that go elsewhere, and things that go elsewhere come here. So many of you, raise your hand if you're from Grove City originally. If you're born and raised, okay.
Yay.
So,
it's like awesome.
A handful of people, which is wonderful. Most of us aren't from here. And so God has transplanted so much from around the country and sometimes around the world here. And it comes out to, it makes up this beautiful expression of the church in Grove City in this day. And so it's so interesting to see as we send Jasmine or Rachel or whomever to another part of the country, that the DNA that's here going to other places and then expressing itself in the local church there is beautiful. Well, this weekend I went to visit my parents who live in Ohio. I'm from southeastern Ohio, and their expression of church is very different. But as we have been forming our convictions of what it means to walk as a community, what we've been doing here has been influencing what they're doing there. So there's this church that's been there for 70 years. And a couple years ago, we were talking about this social covenant thing, and they started hearing about it. And it kind of, they started kicking around, and just, it intrigued them. You're going to commit to each other over any vision. And these people who really love Jesus and who really had a, kind of this model of, hey, we'll go to church on Sunday and Wednesday, and then we'll worship God together and study the Word together on those 2 days. This idea of living life together really started to intrigue them and really challenge them. And these are people who have little kids, middle-sized kids, adult kids, kids out of the house. I mean, this is a multi-generational church that said, wow, what would it look like for us to live in community and to live out the gospel together? And they said, we need to adopt this thing called a social covenant. I had no idea they were adopting this thing called a social covenant, which is like our social covenant. They're like, oh yeah, we want to do that too here in our community. So I'm in my parents' church this morning, and they're doing this social covenant. And there's a slide up that has all
confrontation,
honor, accountability, security. That's a good idea. It's just crazy. I'm sitting there in the back, and they're doing it in their own way, and they're like talking about living life together in their own way, in a way that's completely unique to the church of Woodsfield, Ohio. And it was just crazy. It was just absolutely. I'm sitting in the back, and I took a picture with my phone and sent it to Jesse and Brad and Adrian and said, oh, looks like what we're doing in Grove City is having an effect. So it was really encouraging.
How many of you were here for that one Gabe talked? That was just really good to hear and to know that like this idea of following Jesus is more than showing up to a meeting, right? I mean, honestly, guys, it's been a little bit like, I don't know if I use the word frustrating, because I've not been frustrated necessarily, but one of the reasons we wanted to do this is like have a time for like our core community to be able to go through all this stuff together again. Like every week, I feel like we've had so many of our like really key core people who are saying, yes, we're doing this together, who aren't even here. I mean, Mike and Lish are in Chicago getting ready to get married.
Yeah,
I mean, that's a big deal. They had a wedding shower yesterday, so they left, and they will not be back in New York City until they are married. Yeah, to their married and honeymoon. We will celebrate with him, right? We have Alex is with Mike, Cody's brother, Mike in New Jersey, because they had a wedding to shoot, and Alex has been trying to encourage Mike, and Mike works with Alex, and Alex wanted to go work with Mike. So like, Alex is there in New Jersey helping his brother, you know, like this thing happen. And so like, but there's all kinds of core key people who aren't even in the room. You know, so it's not like we just have a meeting and then, oh, whoever's here is here. It's like the church is made up more than meetings. It's the people of God learning to walk in relationship with each other. Look at 1 Peter. This is the other side. So we have these scriptures that would just really show us the importance of like developing an intimate relationship with God. Many of the psalms from here, things that cry out of my heart, just I want to dwell in the secret place. You know, one thing have I asked, and that will I seek. Those kind of things. But in 1 Peter, we have one of these amazing scriptures. 1 Peter 1, look at verse 22. It says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Guys, it's like we were never made for like these professional relationships with each other, right? We weren't made for this something that feels like this is the, you know, church, and I know how to relate within the church. Mm-hmm. We were made for deep, loving relationships. Fervent relationships. Pure relationships. Because we've seen this get messed up, the church has exchanged deep, intimate love with appropriate surface love. And we never need to do things that are inappropriate, okay? But the goal is not appropriateness. The goal is purity. Does that make sense? The goal, yeah, we should be appropriate with each other, but the goal isn't appropriateness. It's purity. It's love. It's learning to love each other. It's learning to... Guys, there's very little value in our worship together if we never know the person in front of us other than the back of their head. Mm-hmm. How can we recognize and develop the gifts of each other? How can we give and receive strength from each other if we don't take the time to know and be known? So we talked about that 2 weeks ago, and then last week we reviewed the vision, or the mission, excuse me, rather, of AOX, why we exist. There was a handful of us several years ago who were following Jesus together and recognizing, hey, what it is that we're doing we feel like is actually a biblical expression of church. So as we prayed and say, hey, what will we say is our aim? You know, some of it you can just say really easy, like, Jesus, you can say that, right? Mm-hmm. Why do you exist? Jesus. What are you here for? Jesus. And like, you don't really get much better, and that's a good answer. But we wanted to say something like, okay, this is specifically the thing that's on our heart. So if you weren't here and you want to write this down, I'll repeat it a couple times because I think it is important. But we have a specific focus as a church family. And it's this: to disciple, equip, and release sons and daughters of the King to impact every sphere of society for the glory of God. To disciple, equip, and release sons and daughters of the King to impact every sphere of society for the glory of God. Why? Jesus? Because he's worthy. Guys, you'll never be disappointed. You'll never be disappointed choosing him. I mean, maybe in the moment, but in the long haul, it's just like a really good choice. To make him the King. Set him apart as the King of your heart. The preeminent one of your life. So what do we want to do? Disciple. We want to point people to the following of Jesus. Equip. We want to make them ready to do the instructions, to live out the instructions of this book, and to release. Our goal is not to build something that becomes great in the eyes of people who like to count numbers here. Our goal is to see we believe it's normal and natural that as we're listening to God, praying to the Lord, ministering to God, that God would say, hey, I have people who are crying out. I have people who need to hear me. And whether it's in Africa or whether it's in Atlanta, it doesn't really matter to us. Whether it's in Newcastle or whether it's in New Zealand, it doesn't really matter. We say, mm-hmm. God, we've said yes to you already. How many of you have already made that decision in your life? You just have said yes to Jesus. And you're still working out the details, but you said yes to him. You've already made that choice. We can get stressed out sometimes in the midst of like, what's going to happen? Listen, you've already made the choice. Follow Jesus. Jim Herb, my spiritual dad, my mentor, he told a story. Some of you guys have heard it. It offended me so bad. About this, when he was probably 25, 30 years younger than he is now, he met up with this woman she was probably Jim's age. You know, Jim's 80 now. And he met this older, seasoned woman in the Lord. And he's trying to go through this place of trying to figure out what he's supposed to do next in life. And Finally, she says, "Do you want the will of God?" He said, "Yes." So he said, "Well, then you're in it." When he told me that for the first time, I was like so offended. Mm-hmm. Hey, if you want the will of God, then you're in it. Mm-hmm. Because you know what the will of God is? That you want the will of God. Let's get some scripture for that. What's the will of the Lord? Do justly. Love mercy. Walk humbly with your God. We're saying yes to Jesus. For us specifically, discipling, equipping, and releasing. Those who understand our identity is not found in what we accomplish, but it's found in who our Father is. And then understanding that we carry the seed of the gospel inside of us. And we want to not just impact, we don't want to just have good churches. Mm-hmm. We want to be, listen, I don't want nice people. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We want to be dangerous to darkness, right? We want to get so close to the light of God that we reflect his light. And we become contagious. Ephesians has this promise that one day there's going to be a church that measures up to this, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's, I believe, our assignment, is to become a life-size living Jesus in our communities. That when people walk into Beans on Broad or the bar, they can't walk in past a life-size Jesus. Whether they're going to the elementary school or the old folks home, in order to get there, they got to pass a living life-size Jesus. You will never be that by yourself. Mm-hmm. But the promise is in his people. He is planted. He is deposited. In Ephesians 1, it's almost heretical. I mean, in fact, if it wasn't for the fact that God said it, it would be heresy. But just listen to this verse, because it's so rich. Ephesians 1, verse 22. And he put all things under his feet, capital H, that's Jesus, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. I'm telling you, God makes some amazing promises that we get to be a part of living out. Okay? So that's where we've been so far. And tonight, I want to talk about where we're going. And I want to give you some things to write down, because I'm going to give you some things to pray about. When we talk the idea about vision, you've already heard, hey, we're more committed to relationship than we are to vision. That doesn't mean we're not asking God what's next. That just means that we are committed to our relationship with God, developing that with him, and then also our relationship together. There have been times that I have been very clear about what was next. And my heart. But the fact that we've made a commitment to walk together means, well, we got to go slower, or I got to be vulnerable to listen to what somebody else thinks God's saying. Because God really, he is working in his body. I really don't like the title that I have on my business card. You know, for AOX is senior leader. I don't know what that means. It sounds like Star Trek or something. I am the senior leader. But I you'll never hear me introduce myself that way. Cody said it best one time. Cody said it best one time. He was like, introduce me to someone on campus. He said, I was like the leader dude. In the Greek, what that means is, I recognize that, we have a core team of leaders. I recognize that within that core team, I function as a leader amongst leaders. But, what we really believe is not that God has created two different classes of people, those in ministry and those who aren't in ministry. Mm-hmm. We actually believe quite opposite of that. Those who have been called to be what Scripture talks about, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, those who we might say were like the quote-unquote professional ministers of the New Testament, their job was to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So the job of people who are quote-unquote in ministry is to get us all ready for ministry. So that's kind of like the goal. So I said that to say, there's been times I've said, oh, this is what we're supposed to do, and it's not been the right thing. So we've had to listen. The point is, I want to share vision tonight, but I'm not sharing with you, okay, here's our 15-page plan of exactly what's going to happen, here's when it's going to happen. We're saying, when we talk about vision, we're saying, hey, here's where we're aiming. Here's where we're aiming. So I'm going to share two kind of foundational things, and then I'm going to have some people share what's happening in their lives. and then we're talking about some aims, okay? So two tensions, we talked about these some this morning at Leaders Brunch. One is that in the church, believing everything that we've already talked about, that this is about Jesus, that we already understand our mission, there's two things that are really important. Number one, relational connectivity. Relational connectivity. It's hard to love one another deeply and not know someone. Mm-hmm. But would you agree that what we read in 1 Peter says we need to learn how to love each other deeply? So, very basic to our understanding of what being the church is then is like learning to love each other deeply. Growing in deep connection with each other. There's, I believe, 18 one another's in the New Testament. Can you think of any of those one another's? Love one another.
Submit
to one another. Boy, how many of you know it's hard to submit to someone that you don't know loves you? By the way, it doesn't say submit to the boss. It says submit one to another. Every place that Scripture talks about submission, that principle is highlighted. So yes, there's times where it says, like in 1 Peter 5, it tells younger people to submit to older people. But if you read all the things it tells the older people, they're like, well, I would want to submit to someone like that. Someone I knew who was watching out for me. Mm-hmm. What else does it say we're supposed to do for one another?
Honor.
Honor one another? Mm-hmm. Outdo each other with honor. Mm-hmm. Forgive.
Bear one another's burdens.
Bear one another's burdens. Mm-hmm.
Forgive each other.
Forgive each other.
Rejoice with each other.
Rejoice with each other.
Pray for one another.
Pray for one another. There's a lot of instructions about what we're supposed to do with one another. And I would submit to you that like a really good, healthy step of starting to be able to grow and having victory in the one another's is kind of learn how to be connected to each other. Mm-hmm. That takes a sharing of our real self. That takes putting away mask. As a child, I really struggled a lot with rejection. The problem when you struggle with rejection is you try to figure out who somebody else wants you to be, and then you try really hard to become that person. And then even if you succeed and someone likes you because of something you become to be, then you feel empty because they only like you because you become someone else. And what we really need to learn how to do is let the mask down. That's scary. Sometimes it's easier to put on the makeup and put on the dress and walk the runway. To suit up and put on the uniform and get out on the floor. I was talking with one of our friends who does some acting, and they said it's easy to get lost when you're acting because it's so easy to become someone else. And even in relationships, you can just become whoever you need to be in relationship. Does anybody have a favorite author, someone who like in the kingdom, like you just like to read or like to listen to podcasts or sermons, anybody? I used to have people that I would listen to so much that I would start to sound like them.
Yeah.
And I realized the world doesn't need another them.
Yes, yeah. So true.
The world needs me to be who God made me to be. That's not some like fuzzy, gosh, you're the best person ever. You just be the best you ever. You know, that's not, I'm not trying to talk like that. I'm saying, God, listen, do you believe that you were made in the image of God? And if you do, do you believe that he uniquely made you for a purpose? Mm-hmm. Changed my life when I heard someone tell me, in the midst of all my rejection, when I heard someone tell me, hey, God puts you on the planet to do something no one else can do. Mm-hmm. And they looked at me and they said, the way you love people will change the world. Mm-hmm. I said, I believe that. And things changed in my life because I found my purpose. But why am I talking about that? Because you've got to be willing to let those masks down if you're going to be connected to people. Mm-hmm. As long as you're trying to project something to me so that I will think that you're something different than you are, I can't really know you. Mm-hmm. And you can't really know me. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's one side. On the other side, this idea of committed collectivity. So we have relational connectivity where we're learning to grow deep, go deep with each other, kind of like on individual relationship basis. You can't really do that 30 at a time, 50 at a time, 100 at a time, 12 at a time a lot of times. Those are built with what we call relational equity. You like gotta walk through things with people. I just can't come up to you and, like, I remember Nicole's name. I can't, like, oh, I remember Nicole's name. We're, like, best friends now. I don't know her yet. I want to, but I don't. So I got to get to know someone, okay? This idea of the collective, committed collective, is also the picture that, hey, while there's things that I've got to be able to, like, really open up and let someone know the real me, there's also this idea that we're not just a bunch of individuals. We're not individual puzzle pieces that make up our own pictures. But we make the best picture when we're connected. Does that make sense? You guys with me?
Mm-hmm.
We make our best picture when we know how we're connected with each other. Like, if you're a corner piece and you're trying to be in the middle, like, don't. Just be a good corner piece. Know where you fit, know where you belong, because, like, you help bring definition to the whole picture. And learning how to be excited and satisfied with who God made us to be in the context of a bigger picture. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. Because we as a church family, we as a community, we use the word community a lot of times. We as a church family, we want to understand that part of what we're supposed to do is empower and equip people to follow Jesus and be everything they can be. And at the same time, we also need to call people into relationship where we are being the best that we can be together. Does that make sense? Mary Beth, come sit up here real quick. Let's talk for a few minutes about what's happening in your life. And here's what's going to happen, guys. We're going to take about probably 5 minutes with Mary Beth. I've got maybe one other person we're going to talk to right now. And then I've got a list of some things we want to talk through about things that are in our hearts. And then if there's any kind of feedback, questions, we want to take time for that, and we're going to pray. Okay? So hopefully by about 8:20, we'll be done. Whatever that means. So, Mary Beth, how long have you been connected here?
With AOX? Since my sophomore year in college. So going on 4 years.
Going on 4 years. That's amazing. This is an amazing woman. A lot of you guys are here, either directly or indirectly, because Mary Beth couldn't keep her mouth shut. Yep.
Truth.
Yep. We're like following the family tree back up. How do they find out about us, Mary Beth? How about them, Mary Beth? A Pied Piper bringing hungry people to wherever there's water. Hungry people going to water. Exactly. Thirsty people. There we go. All right, so Mary Beth, so you're not on Grove City College campus anymore. Why not?
No, because I graduated.
She graduated.
Praise the Lord.
And after you graduated, what happened?
Well, I was an elementary education major, and when I was in college, I did a field experience at this school about 30 minutes west of here called Farrell. And I thought the school was so awesome, I was like, okay, I'm going to work there when I graduate, God. So I just made it happen, and I work there full-time now. I'm a teacher in the emotional support classroom. So what that means pretty much is the kids who get kicked out of their classroom come to mine. And I get their work done with them, and I tell them how it is, and we get
through. What do they call you?
Oh, what do they call me? All right. Well, so my last name is Bitzer, but they call me Miss B. But I've gotten a nickname, and they start calling me Ms. Boss. Because I'm the boss, and I don't play with them. But yeah, so my school, I don't know if you guys, if you're local, if you know about Farrell, but Farrell, all right, so there's 498 school districts in the state of Pennsylvania. And Farrell, all right, with number one being the best, is number 488. We are low. It is the nearest inner city school. Really, really rough area. There's actually this article posted a few days ago in like the Mercer Free Press. And the title of it was, or excuse my language, but it's called Farrell is the Official Asshole of Mercer County. And it just goes on and talks about, how, like pretty much the author's just saying, like the people of Farrell are just wasting our government's money. He's talking about how like he just wished he could like get rid of the whole town. He has no has a really bad reputation. Has the highest crime rate, highest drug, highest rate of like alcoholism in the whole county. The average per capita income for our district is $14,000. My students don't understand the concept of marriage. My co-teacher, Ms. Armour, she was telling one of our kids last week how she went out to eat with her husband the night before. And our kids were like, oh, no, you mean your boyfriend? We're like, no, like my husband. Like, no, your boyfriend. Like, they just don't understand, like, what it means to have a mom and a dad who are committed to each other, who are there in the same house with them. One of my students, Deb T. Rodney, one of my co-teachers took him out to eat at a restaurant a couple months ago. And he's a second grader, and he told my co-teacher, Mrs. Stutz, you're going to have to order for me. Like, I don't know how to read a menu. I've never been to a restaurant before. Really hard home lives. There's shootings weekly down the street from my school. So I work with the kids K through 6 who emotionally get kicked out of their class or have conduct disorders, like they destroy things, anger management issues, just emotionally cannot handle being in the mainstream classroom. And so my job is to, get like their academic work done, which I do, but really to find out like what's going on under the surface. Like, hey, you know, like, why'd you come into class so angry today? Like, why did you completely destroy that puppet in your kindergarten classroom?
Like, what did the puppet do to you?
Right. Like, why are you speaking? Like, why are you so angry? You know, and just, you know, counseling them and just teaching them, like, emotional and social skills and, you know, how to communicate in a healthy way. So that's what I do now, and I love every second of it. Like, I love it so, like, it's so much fun. Like, I can't believe I get paid to do it. Like, really, I want to be there because, like, the staff is so awesome. Like, our superintendent is a reverend, and my principal is such a strong Christian. I don't really feel like I'm saving the world out there, you know, but I love every second of it. And some of my kids have, like, started calling me mom because, like, they don't have a mom at home, but they see me as, like, the only motherly figure they have. I'm just this, like, 22-year-old white girl.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Right?
Just making sure it didn't rub off.
Yeah.
So, was there a story about like a 6-year-old or something has to get up and help?
Oh, yeah. One of my students, she's a first grader. She has to get up in the middle of the night every morning to feed her baby sister, who's like 6-7 months old, because her mom doesn't get up and feed her when she's crying in the middle of the night.
Oh, mm-hmm.
She's a first grader. Yeah.
So, how many of you in this room are even qualified to have her job? You have an education degree? Derek? Adrian? Anybody else? So, here's this picture of like the individual and the collective. So, like, we all can't go to the classroom. But I don't know if you know this, but we couldn't, if we had $40,000 a year, we couldn't pay someone to have the access that she has. So in being the church together, what it means is not that we all do the same thing. You know, some of us are entrepreneurs. That was sneaky. You see what she just did? While you were here, she went there. Wow, that's something.
I wanted to get back in.
So she's an individual doing what's in front of her. Guys, listen to this. She's doing what's in front of her. That's how the wall got built with Nehemiah. Everyone built was in front of their own house. Big wall. Everyone built what they could do. But when she goes, in a way, if we will commit to her, we can go with her. How many of you know that, like, when Mary Beth comes home, she might need to be able to talk with someone. She might need to be able to process with someone. If she has to do this job by herself, it'll be a very, 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 very hard job. And I would imagine that outside of Jesus, a very high burnout rate.
Yeah.
Maybe even with Jesus, a high burnout rate. Because it's hard. A school system shouldn't be expected to replace a home system. School system will never succeed trying to replace the family. It wasn't made for that. But to have someone who, in a way, is functioning like a missionary, saying, I can't believe they're paying me to do this. For some of you, that would be like purgatory. How many of you, if she's selling you that job, like, I couldn't do that job. But aren't you glad there's someone who loves Jesus that's in that position? What if there's a cynical person who's agnostic in that position?
They don't last. No, like every one of my staff, like every like 95% are all like super strong Christians, because it's impossible to teach there like without Jesus. Like it's just, it looks so hopeless. It looks so draining.
That's good news.
Yeah.
I mean, without me, you can do nothing.
Right.
That's what we have the power to do outside of Jesus. So it's good to be in situations where we know that we can do nothing, and that way we have to choose him. So I wanted Mary Beth to share that tonight, because like she's set up in a unique place to love people that we will never get a chance to walk into beings and love. We can love her. You know, it can be really romantic to send someone to Detroit. Mm-hmm. But when Anna was at George Jr., you know, she's cried out, because here she is in this place going into hard situations, just needing people. You know what? Maybe your job doesn't sound that crazy. But the idea of kind of these extremes of what Mary Beth is doing, what Anna was doing, like, no matter what you're doing, it's important that we're faithful. Right? That's what's required of us, is that we're faithful. So if you are working at Beans, man, make the best lattes on the planet. Mm-hmm. Can I get a witness? Do it as unto the Lord. Do whatever you're doing, do as unto the Lord. And then remember that we have an opportunity, like even whenever Doug is going and interacting with a client that I will never meet, if I'm connected and walking in relationship, I have a chance to let the culture, what we understand of the culture of the gospel, the culture of heaven, impact his client. Mm-hmm. Impact your classroom. Impact your workplace. Okay? Thank you, Mary Beth. Ben, why don't you come up here real quick? This is the Reverend Dr. Benjamin Woodard. Ben has no idea what we're going to talk about. This sweater looks good on you.
Is that what we're talking about?
No, but I do. Can you real quickly describe what your outfit was that you told me about the other day? Whenever you were first grade, your common outfit, your standard.
3 years.
Yeah, it was.
I had these cowboy boots and a coonskin cap. And a fighter jet pilot jacket. These three articles of clothing I never took off.
And a buzz cut. And a buzz cut.
It was pretty cool.
Luke, did you inherit those whenever he was done with them? All right. So, Ben, how long have you been connected here?
2 years and a couple weeks here.
2 years and a couple weeks. And when you first came around, well, what did you think when you first came? I don't know. I've never asked this question, so it could be a really...
I mean, I went to worship in the Grove, and I mean, it was a little unusual, but I just like knew that you guys had the Holy Spirit. You just had something that I hadn't seen, and the Holy Spirit was present in a way that I hadn't seen before, and I just decided to keep coming back.
Okay. And what were you in school for?
Biblical and religious studies and philosophy.
Something. Feel intimidated just sitting there. What did you think that you were going to do next?
Well, I kind of expected I would graduate and go to this beach I know in Hawaii and live in my hammock and eat fruit and hang out on the beach and not have any worries for the indeterminate future. But I decided,
God had a... He's serious. Like, this is like the serious. What have you learned about the church? What have you learned about specifically seeing the gospel spread and relationships in the last, let's say, 6 months or so?
Why I stayed was like, I guess because, I mean, I'd been in the church like my whole life, but I guess I hadn't really seen community. I mean, I thought I had community, and I saw what real community was, and decided, like, oh, like, that's worth staying for. Like, that's worth staying for.
Yeah.
I mean, when I was in school, like, Grove City was the last place I saw myself staying. last place in the world I saw myself staying. Community is just, like, worth it. What exactly was your question?
Just what have you learned about church, I guess, since the staying, since the... No. I remember a time at the end of last year, so probably almost a year ago, you really just starting to pray for, like, just boldness and, like, sharing the gospel with people who know Jesus and the desire to make disciples. And I've seen you, like, step out and try, and sometimes those have worked great, and sometimes they've not, on the surface, like, worked so well. So just what have you learned as you've tried to follow Jesus in the last year as part of community?
That's a broad question.
Just say something epic.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's the life I want to live. It's the most exciting life. It's the most satisfying thing. Just kind of doing what my dad wants. Just waking up and getting my marching orders and just trying to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I really appreciate with Ben, just like we start praying for friends, and like he has an expectation, we start praying for things, going to see something happen in someone's life.
Mm-hmm.
Done church at Chipotle, done church on the front porch. Yeah, I know. How many of you are volunteering for that church plant, right? Hallelujah. We'll do that. But I think there's a lot of value in Ben's story. Is like Ben had an idea, he had a plan. Could be the beach in Hawaii, could be seminary, not Grove City. But it wasn't the town, or it wasn't like the geography or all the cool things to do that made him stay. It was this idea of like, hey, I want to follow Jesus. I'm going to learn how to do it together. We don't have it all figured out, as you mostly already know. And if you don't know it, then you'll just hang around a little bit longer and you'll figure that out. But there's so much value in just saying, hey, I want to follow Jesus. I want to go there. And so I think that in the sense of sharing vision, I wanted to like ask Mary Beth and Ben some of these questions that I could have asked. I could have asked other people to take my glasses off for me. I could have asked a lot of other people why you're here, what you've learned. I know I've learned a lot. I've been humbled. It's great. One of my favorite things to do is, like, you know, I had some seminary training. I love being with people who don't know the Bible at all, and like the Holy Spirit teaching me for people who don't, quote unquote, don't know anything. Because it's not about our knowledge. It's about knowing Him. Right? Thank you, Ben. Ephesians 5. We're going to read a couple scriptures, and then I want to share some aims with you. Some things that we're aiming at. Some things here and like the now, and then some things that maybe are months or years away, but like ideas of where we're headed. But all of it is in this place, the tension between the collective and the connected. What we do together as a larger group and what we do in our one-on-one, one-on-two, one-on-three relationships. One of the reasons I think it's so important that we understand both is I think that good, healthy churches are made up of lots of those highly connected relationships. And that's what we want. That's what we want to see happen. Let's look at verse 22. I'm going to go ahead and read all of this, and then we're just going to talk about one aspect of it. And I want to make a connection here, okay? Wives, submit to your own husbands. Well, first of all, as Katie tells me, I need to go back and read the verses right above that, right? Let's look at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand the will of the Lord, or what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation. Be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the
wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify her and cleanse her with a washing of water by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. For he who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but cherishes and nourishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Really been praying over the last several weeks. God, what do we want to talk about? Because there's so many things with vision and just seeing what God's doing in the earth today. You can be really discouraged if you watch the news, but if you watch what God's doing, you'll just be really impressed by the power of God. He's doing great things. People groups all over the world are coming to Jesus. It's awesome. And he allows us to get to see people all over Grove City or all over the region come to know Jesus. It's a really good deal. It's a great invitation. I love what Ben said. It's the most exciting life possible. I was praying, and this passage came to my mind, that God had a plan for marriage, and he makes a connection to the church. Now, you're a child, but we're going to act mature here. Okay? The rest of you, I'm going to treat like you're adults, young adults. Why do you think God speaks about the importance of sex happening inside the covenant of marriage? Why do you think that's important? Trust? Some of you are going, what in the world does this have to do with the vision? Just hang on. What do you mean safety? That's it.
It's you being known at your most intimate. Okay. It's like the marriage vow. It's like you submit to that person, which you prefer them above all others.
Okay. Jesus is looking for a bride that's committed to him. And it struck me in trying to communicate where I believe that God is taking us individually as a church family to share this passage about the fact that God's looking for a bride that he can make ready. One of the things that happens with, one of the reasons I don't believe that God talks to us about sexuality in Scripture because he is trying to control our fun. That's not why God talks about it. God knew the way he designed us. And he designed the most intimate parts of us to be shared in the protection of covenant relationship. Does that make sense? In other words, I am not going to be safe to be completely vulnerable with you until I know that we're committed to each other for the long haul. Does that make sense? I've never met a woman specifically. I don't know that I've met a man, but I just was thinking about all the women that we've counseled who went back and just was so excited by all the people that weren't committed to them, that had physical relationships with it. There's specifically a place where a lot of times that causes a layer of hurt. Whereas like that person wasn't committed to me. They just wanted something from me. Jesus does not just want something from you. He is committing himself to us. And I believe as a part of the body, if we look at this as a part of the body, there's an important place for us being committed to each other as we walk in that commitment with God. There are things, and Gabe said this whenever we were talking about social covenant, there are things that I am not going to be able to work through in the moment, but over the course of committed relationship, I can walk it out. Hang with me, okay? Check this out. Part of the vision for what God has, how many of you recognize that we can read scriptures about the church that we haven't seen happen yet? man, I could ask the question, how many of you have been hurt by the church? And we could say, are you sure the church is supposed to be the fullness of him? But there's promises that are in this book that I believe are waiting to be discovered by people who will say yes to Jesus and then walk in, like, not out of a relationship with a vision or a relationship with charismatic leadership, but have a relationship with Jesus. We're going to say yes to each other. Does that make sense? I haven't got to talk this one through out loud very much yet, so I need your help. I'm a verbal processor. I really do want to be done soon. But I need you to, like, nod or say, yeah, that's really good, or I have no idea what you're talking about. Okay? It is important, guys. Look, we could all be in this room and be individual followers of Jesus and not know how to walk together. That campus is full of people who have said yes to Jesus in their heart. If there was no other believers in Grove City, but just the ones on that campus, this city should be transformed 100%. A couple thousand followers of Jesus on a camp, or in a town of 10,000. I mean, over a fifth of the population right there. Like, there should be no problems with economy. There should be no problem with addiction. There should be no problem just by the fact if we all were able, by our individual yes in our heart for Jesus, to see things change. But God gave it that in our relationship with each other is how that gets worked out. Does that make sense? So it's not for a lack of love necessarily with Jesus, but a lack of understanding. How do we take that love and carry it out? Like, we moved, my family and I moved to Grove City, yes, because there's a sense of God calling and drawing us here. But there was also a sense of my family needed to come to a place where we could have a picture of being a part of a New Testament church community. And this was a place that I could see that happening. I could see that forming. So there was both a sense of calling and need. I can't be a good husband just because I love Jesus. I need people who are sharpening me. Iron sharpens iron, so the man sharpens the countenance of his friends. Countenance has the idea of face. My wife needs me to be sharpened so that my face will change. I love my wife. I love my daughter. There are times that my face gets ugly whenever I'm talking to them. And you know, like, there's something convicting about being in the midst of relationships. I know I'm going to see brothers who are asking, hey, how's it going with Adrian? What's happening with Abby this week? Oh man, I really blew it. I become a better friend, a better husband, a better son when I'm walking with people who are committed to, the Bible says, provoking each other to love and good works. So I believe, guys, that there's things that I want to share with you that, like, they're not just these great big dreams and ideas, but they're things that we can really only walk out together if we're committed. Not to me, not to a building, not to even to AOX, but to Jesus. We're saying yes to his church. If he's committed to his church, if he's committing to make a church that's without spot or wrinkle. Okay? Then we need to be committed to that too. We need to be committed to saying yes to him. And understand there's a mystery. Okay, so here's some specific things to write down. I wrote down a list of four or five things. There's these cool opportunities here. Do you know that there's some new simple churches that are forming? What's a simple church, Katie? Give me your best on-the-spot definition.
A group of closely connected people following Jesus together.
Okay. A group of closely connected people who follow Jesus together. I hope that a part of following Jesus, we don't have to say this, but I hope that a part of following Jesus would also be that we are sharing the love of Jesus, sharing the good news of Jesus. Okay, so my definition of the church, people who are following Jesus together with each other in the midst of people who don't know him. A simple expression of that is just a tight-knit group of people who are saying, hey, we're gonna do this together. Okay, so whether that's like gathering around a certain people group they want to see come to Jesus, or gathering around the fact, hey, we have three young married couples who are trying to learn how to follow Jesus as young married couples. These are what we call simple churches. There's some new ones forming. And some of them have formed around prayer for people who don't know Jesus. Some of them have grown out of that opportunity. In the midst of that kind of thinking, so what are we believing God for? We're believing God that people who can't necessarily come every Sunday night or can't come, I was talking to Amy Rumbaugh this week, she can't come to community dinner. Well, I guess that means she can't be a part of our church. No. The way we do church by very definition is that, like, okay, well, let's find some people who can do church with her. Mm-hmm. It's not like when can we get everybody on the same schedule? It's like, wow, what does it look like whenever the church in Grove City is functioning all throughout the week, not just at specific meeting times? So part of the vision is to see natural relationships form so there's new simple churches getting started. Katie has been praying specifically for some friends who are part of a different religious mindset and system. Katie told me, like, she's like, this is my people group. You know, if Katie were to get up and say, like, I have a heart for Mozambique. I want to go work with orphans in Mozambique. We could get excited and take up offerings and send her to Mozambique. But what will we do to come around her as she, like, builds relationships with these friends who need to hear the gospel? Like, she needs to be loved and supported. And if she's going to go spend time and read the Bible with them and read their religious materials, like, then she needs to know that she's covered and connected in relationships that are committed to her. Does that make sense? We've had some rough stuff happen this year. We've had some pain. We've had some heartbreak. Someone was just telling me today, Jamie Joy was telling me today about some of the people she's been, like, building close relationships with. They just lost their brother. 40-year-old brother just died instantly. And she was trying to talk. I knew exactly what she meant. But just so sad and tragic that happened. But in the midst of that tragedy, there's been opportunity to go deep and show love. To build real relationship. In the midst of tragedy and things that have happened here in town, there's been a midst to grow in love and to go deep and to share the gospel. So part of the vision is seeing simple churches happen out of relationship while we share a sense of, like, collective, hey, we're doing this together. Okay? Beyond that, you know, we have married. Some people get married.
Yeah.
One of the dreams of this community has been family. I remember since we started talking about family, but we have a vision that includes, like, trying to support and encourage family. Some of you guys came to the AIM retreat with me this weekend. It was like 8 people from AOX and then a bunch of other people who were mostly in their 70s. How was it, Anna?
Amazing.
And we came back with this hunger. God, send us older people.
Yeah.
Older elders. That we can be, like, a really good expression of family. It would be great if we had a bunch of kids running around here. Now, we're willing to do that. Oh, listen, we're willing to make our own, right? We're willing over time to say, all right, we're going to invest in, like, helping relationships be healthy. And so when people get married, they can have healthy families. But I want you to write this down. One of the things we're praying for is a healthy culture for families so that we can become a multi-generational, truly multi-generational expression of what it means to be a church together. If you're writing that down, go ahead and write down. We want to see new expressions of church happen through relationship, especially where it allows the gospel to go. And then the second thing is we want to see a culture that supports families. Third thing that we want to see, this is something I'm asking, I've been praying this, and I feel like I bring it up every once in a while, and somebody said to me, it doesn't seem like anybody's really caught that one yet. Guys, we started, like, a lot of our history came from the fact that we spent time on college campuses, mm-hmm. trying to love and encourage people to follow Jesus, make disciples, and see simple expressions of the church happen on college campuses. The college campus in America is the most unreached mission field in America, even more than the inner city. More than any economic demographic we could find. The U.S. college campus is the most unreached mission field in America. And we are praying that God would raise up people who have a heart specifically to see the campuses in our region get infected with the gospel of Jesus. There's over 400,000 college students within an hour and a half of this place. I believe one of the greatest natural resources Western Pennsylvania and Eastern Ohio have to offer. we really, really need, I believe, to be praying that God would raise up people who would say, hey, we're going to go stir up the gospel on college campuses. What does that look like? It probably means some people making some adjustment to life. And say, hey, I'm going to take a season of life. I'm going to begin to go. One of the visions behind like having a hub was to have a place where a team could go out from and travel from place to place. That's not what been what God's had us focusing on. That's not been what it's the makeup of our spiritual family has shifted where it's not all students, which that's good because in order for that to be healthy, I believe there needs to be that sense of like multi-generational family. But we're believing an aim in my heart, an aim that I believe is a part of us, our assignment, and going back and reading some of the things we originally wrote is we want to be a place that takes the gospel to campuses. So that's an aim, okay? So I'm going to talk about a couple things now where there's just like this idea, and then there's an opportunity, and then there's beyond the opportunity, okay? So one of the other things that we've seen happen, so for those of you who don't know, you want to write down the word Detroit. Brought down the word Urbana. And Detroit and Urbana specifically, there are people that we have relationally connected with, other places as well. But specifically those two places, places where we've said, hey, we are investing ourselves in these people who are share a similar DNA, who are living out the gospel in neighborhoods or on their campus. And they're trying to say, hey, we're trying to follow Jesus, make disciples, and see the gospel spread. And we have a relationship with them. And we say, hey, we're committed to you. So in Detroit, there's a community of, it's just kind of like what Kate said here. How many people are part of your church? You know, sometimes you could say 10, sometimes you could say 50, 80. In Detroit, there's probably a core of 15 to 20 people, and then another layer of 30 to 50 people of new disciples, people they've connected with in the city. Detroit's one of the most whacked out cities in America. Looks like a war zone. Many, many neighborhoods, just whole blocks where there may be one house that's inhabited. You could literally buy houses for a dollar. The city tore down tens of thousands of houses. It's just a city that's like laid in shambles. And so we have these friends who said, hey, we're going to go there and try to follow Jesus, make disciples. Praying, God, what other cities? Our friend Carl and Lydia, they're there in University of Illinois, Champaign. 40,000 students, the second highest international population in the United States for a college campus. Right now, they're in their simple church where they have all kinds of weird, crazy people. They have a guy in their simple church who is a Palestinian born in Israel who was raised Southern Baptist. It's almost like any identity issue you could have. This guy is like one person who has all of it. I don't even know if I got that all right. But I mean, it's crazy. All kinds of stuff. Have people that are just, you know, Lydia is in her getting her PhD as a linguist, and so people from her department who they're saying, hey, come follow Jesus. Carl's, they're working in the business district downtown. Hey, come follow Jesus. They now have a house with a guest room, and they're saying, hey, we need people to come visit. We're believing God that it would be right at some point in time to send two or three people from here to go live with them there and help make disciples and help live life, live Jesus. So we have this idea of cities. So write down cities, okay? There's an opportunity that we're praying into in Pittsburgh with some people who love Jesus that would really be an opportunity to go and go into the Oakland neighborhood of Pittsburgh, which is where Pitt is at and where Carnegie Mellon is at. And it's an opportunity that we're praying about of going and planting a community, a simple church kind of community, along with some people who have a focus on Southeast Asia. And we would basically plant a little business slash place where they could send all these people they're meeting from Asia whenever they're in Pittsburgh. Go to this tea room. Go to this Korean barbecue, whatever it is that ends up happening. But we're just exploring the relationships and saying, hey, while we're praying for cities like Atlanta and Albuquerque, while we're praying for neighborhoods in Tampa and St. Pete, God, what about our region? What about here? What about Hermitage? What about Elwood City? What about Youngstown? So as we're praying, we begin to believe God to open doors. So there's cities that we're praying for. There's also nations. How many know we're praying for the nations? I talked this week with the leader of the church that Anna connected with in Ireland.
And we spent about an hour together talking and praying, dreaming. Whether it's Ireland or the Philippines or China, there's doors that are open. But it's not just that like AOX wants to have an international influence. And we could care less about being known for that. What we want to do is we want to see Jesus be glorified. A vision that like kind of came about in prayer is that we were praying one day and it was at a place where we were getting invitations to all these different countries. And we realized we could probably have open doors to have more trips than we could handle. But we don't want to just be about trips. We want to build about building relationships. And so we're praying that God would build bridge type relationships in the nations where we could commit long term. What could it look like in the Philippines if we could take people who have a heart for the nations and they could go spend a year in the Philippines and then they could come back and bring back people who could come do like something like Summer in the Grove? What could it look like just to develop places where we're committed to blessing and being blessed, to giving and receiving with relationships with nations? Jesse's got a lot of connections in Malawi. We're believing, what would it look like to see even like governmental structures shift in Malawi? Why not? So these just are a few things. We have this idea of like seeing the nations be reached. But you know what? Now we have actually people who are putting their boots on the ground someplace. And so it's not just an idea anymore. Now we're thinking about, I mean, Hannah is really considering Ireland. You know, it will cost us something to see Hannah go. It'll cost us something when people begin to get a heart for a city that is 6 hours away from here. It costs me something every time I hit the button and call Carl Cathedral because I miss him and I would much rather he were still here. But we believed, he believed, Lydia believed, and then we came around and said, yeah, we believe this is right for you to go and do this thing and we're going to be committed to you as well. So the aims that where we're going are beyond here. But I can't, like, it's not right for me to begin to, like, just pick a woman in the room and make plans for 50 years from now. It's right for me to do it with this one because I've made a commitment to her. I said I do. We're not trying to come up with this, like, oh, what are all the possible things we could do with Jesus? How many of you know those possibilities are endless? But what we are saying is not, again, I want to make this very clear, we're not saying that in committing in this way to Jesus, we're not saying that you're committing to be in Grove City forever or you're even committed to be connected to AOX forever. But I believe that the vision that's in front of us is going to require a commitment to be a part of a bride who's making herself ready. It's going to go beyond just this, whatever it means for me to follow Jesus by myself and become a part of what does it mean for me to follow Jesus in relationship with the body. There are things that are not only an opportunity for us to think about. So we have this hillside in Virginia that we would like to have rocking chair years in. Paris, Virginia. A beautiful place in the Shenandoah Valley. So we have a dream for the future that we're dreaming together. But we also have responsibilities, including this little one, that are more important than the dream. But it's the commitment to each other that can help us do this well and hopefully one day see those dreams come true. When you make disciples, boy, making disciples can change everything. You start making messy disciples and they got dirty diapers and they got all the issues that come with making disciples. We may find that like maybe going to the nations doesn't happen as fast as we think it will because we're just trying to figure out how to take care of what we got. But even what we steward together in commitment to Jesus. We have plans. We want to hopefully very soon share with you about some renovation plans for the hub. Why would we renovate the hub? Well, because we want to have a long-term plan for using this space to the glory of God. We want to make some adjustments, make some changes, make some updates. Why? Not because we have to, we want to have a meeting here next week, but because we want to have a vision that says over time we're committed to God and to each other. Does anybody have any thoughts or questions about those aims of cities, nations, simple churches happening here locally, family, campuses? Does anybody have any questions or comments? Something you don't understand or something you get really excited about? Yeah.
I a close friend on campus that I love. But, to use the best career term, but like, just be like, guys, I love you. Like, let's wake up. Let's pursue God together. I'm like, how do I do that? Mm-hmm. It's because, like, I would love, because like, it's very easy for me to be like, dude, listen to this guy. He knows it. I don't know what I'm talking about either. But, like, I mean, guys, in that situation, so, like, how do you, like, install community, install community around that?
The greatest way to impact culture is to provoke people to a godly jealousy. People don't need to hear a plan about it. They need to see it. And they need to go, what is happening in your life? I got to have me some of that. Does that make sense? What's your name?
Aaron.
I was watching you worship tonight. And I was like, man, this girl, she just wants Jesus. Like, you just be who you are. And whether you're worshiping in a way that was like what Aaron was doing, or whether you're just journaling through, like, man, this is what's happening in my life right now. You want to, like, influence your family? You want to influence your friend? You want to see, like, paradigm shift? Become what you want to see happen. Become that thing by going deeper with God, by having relationship with God. It's hard to do by yourself. And so, that's the invitation, is like, maybe right now there's not a bunch of guys on that, your guys that you love that are close that are saying yes to that now. But like within this group, let's say, hey, let's figure out how we can allow someone to get up and start going deep. You know, it's not like we like to do things here, but the goal of like prayer that we do here is to provoke other people to pray in their houses and their dorm rooms and their places of business. It's not like, okay, we'll finally arrive whenever this space is always full with 24/7 prayer. I think Grove City would be changed faster if it was still 24/7 prayers that happen in dorm rooms and people's houses and people's businesses. Can you imagine you walk by some business and you go in and there's just people like on their face before the Lord? Like, that happened. And the Great Awakening and the Second Great Awakening, that's what happened. People took their lunch hours and gave it to God in prayer. What would it be like if that happened on the streets of this town? What would it be like for your hall to be different because the fire on the altar never went out? Because there are people who are just praying and giving themselves to Jesus. Guys, that's not a pipe dream. It is not a pipe dream. It's a promise. One day, God, whatever God, like, do you remember that time when God was ready to wipe out the Israelites? Remember that one time? He's ready to wipe out the Israelites because they said that they didn't want to go into the land. He said, I'm promising you it's good. And they said, yeah, but there's giants in that land. And he's ready to wipe them out. And God said, no, don't do that. And he was like, what will the heathen say? God says, fine. This generation is going to die in the wilderness. I'll let their kids go in. But there's coming a day when the whole earth will see my glory. What in the world is CNN going to talk about on that day? Some churches, and I'm not against this, but they just can't wait for the glory cloud to show up. Now listen, if God wants to send a glory cloud, I want to be underneath it. I want to be in it, surrounded by it. Whatever he wants to do, I'm for it. But biblically, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Biblically, the place where he deposited his glory was in these earthen vessels. We have this treasure in jars of clay. I don't know about you, but if God wants to fill our whole earth with his glory and we are the primary place that scripturally says he wants to do that, I want to make myself ready. So that even in my weakness, his glory can shine through. Nicole, even in the place that doesn't seem like it's quite finished in what you want, it's not in your strength that his strength is made perfect. It's in our weakness. So my friends Carl and Stephanie back here, Carl's got a story I've heard him share about like hardship that happened in his life and in his business. It wasn't just in the places where that were all strong that God showed his power. It's in the places that he was weak, in the places that shouldn't have happened. And he was telling me a testimony this week of a guy who looked him in the face and basically said, hey, you're not going to make it in business a year. And years later, God just gave him a contract that was at the expense of this other company. Because the other company wasn't acting honorably and with integrity. I think it's so cool to see how God does that. He takes our weakness. So we provoke, does that make sense? We want to provoke people to a righteous, holy jealousy. Any other questions or comments, things that you're...
And she was just saying, how do you create hunger in people who aren't hungry? You give them the smell of fresh bread. So like, even when I'm not hungry, if I smell fresh bread baking, I become hungry for it. So give them the smell of fresh bread.
For all who smell the bread you've done here. So we don't want to go out, like, it's not our goal to go out and like present this like really polished, here's Awitz's plan to transform Grove City. You know what our plan is to transform Grove City? Get on our face with God. Spend time in the quiet place with Him, spend time together with Him, and then go leak all over the place. It is our best hope. It is our best plan. I love it when people see Abigail leaking. Because she's not, I don't think Abigail's ever had a day in her life whenever she thought, what's the strategic way for me to make a difference in my community? But whenever she's just a little girl who loves Jesus and that overflows, then all of a sudden it's way better than if we had a plan for it. Right? Anybody else? I have a question. We're going to, if we don't, we're going to pray together. And I'm going to tell you, so what does this all mean? And we're going to pray together. Anyone else? All right. So, here's my invitation to you. Some of you have never been around whenever we talked about social covenant until a couple weeks ago. We don't really have church membership, but we do believe that we are supposed to. By the way, I now believe in church membership. Not like you join the Y. But the Bible teaches we're members of a body. And I believe it's important for us to know where we belong. If you get a sense, this is a place that you're supposed to belong. Not that you're signing some contract that you're going to be here forever. But you just say, hey, this is where I'm, at this point in time I walk with Jesus, this is where I'm supposed to belong. Then we want to commit to you. And at the same time, we want you to grow in commitment to what God's doing here. Not because we need to say, oh, we had 10 new people say they want to be committed. Because it's impossible for us to know how to... Guys, it's just impossible to know how to love outside of commitment. What's the thing that you talked about? You had a better phrase than that.
Love expresses itself through commitment.
Love expresses itself through commitment. So, that social covenant, for instance, like, I'm not going to be confronting you if you don't want to be confronted outside of commitment. But there's lots of times I had to confront people confront me when we haven't wanted to, but because we're committed, right? It's not my job to become the police. Well, I don't like what you did over there, so I'm going to confront you. But if we're walking in relationship, that's different. Right? So, if you're here tonight and you're like, hey, I want this to be home. For this season of my life, this is what it means for me to be home. Then, let us know that. So we can, like, pray with you and get to know you. I don't want people to come in and out for a Sunday night prayer time and call that being the church together. Mm-hmm. No one, in their definition of what it means to be the church together, listed church attendance as what it means. Because mm-hmm. It's just not where we're at. There's nothing wrong with attending services. There's nothing wrong with preaching and worship and all that. Nothing wrong with it. Need it. Necessary. That's not what it means to do it together. Mm-hmm. If you already have a church family that you're part of, please understand this. We're not trying to recruit you away from that. I do tell this consistently, and I think I've been consistent with this. If you already have a family, be with that family. You're welcome to come to anything we have, but know where you're home. Know where you're home at. Why? Well, that way, you can grow in relationship with people that can disciple you and that you can disciple. We're not trying to get all the people who, you know, are hungry for making disciples or hungry for God's presence, like to be in one place. That's not the goal. But if you say, hey, this kind of feels like my tribe, this feels like family, then we want to be family.
but that's going to cost something.
For Jonathan,
like, I remember whenever he first started coming, you know, for Grove City College students, it's not necessarily easy to be relationally committed or connected. Mm-hmm. But it took effort on multiple people's part mm-hmm. to want to be in relationship and want to grow in relationship. And like whenever Jonathan spent this summer here, he had other opportunities. And not that you weren't apart before that, but just like being able to be in an intense like time of like spending time with people, that costs you something. It costs you something financially, it costs you something in time with your family. But it's worth it. So, and then for people that you have been a part of AOX, I would just like to see us tighten the bolts down a little bit in our commitment with each other. Not to a corporate thing, not to like to a vision, but to each other. So I just want to pray, and as we pray, I want you to pray. I want to be very clear, just because I don't want this to be misunderstood. I'm not asking you to commit to AOX yet, so you're like, I am asking you to say your vows to Jesus. That we recognize it's not just me and him. It's me a part of his bride and him. Does that make sense? This is a mystery of Jesus and his church. So God, I pray for understanding. I pray for you to open up our eyes, that we would understand the hope of the calling that we have in you. We'd understand the beauty of the inheritance that we have in you and that we have in your people. And God, I can get excited thinking about opportunities in Ireland and opportunities in Europe and opportunities in Pittsburgh and opportunities even with business people here in Grove City or with school children in Grove City or different things that might be coming down there, different places we're aiming to see families raised up. But God, it's not just because we want to see these things happen. We want to see you be glorified. Jesus, you are worthy. And so God, I pray that we would all have a fresh hunger in our hearts, what Dan was talking about. Just to find people around us, and whether it's a kick in the seat or a pat on the back or grabbing their hand and saying, let's do this together. We're saying, God, draw us after you, that we would run with you. God, I pray that you would pour a holiness out on us as a people, because not because we're trying to behave, but because we've decided that you are the one that we want to live for. And God, we just make space for people who are new and they've not been around before. We make space to grow in relationship. We don't try to hold on to the way things have been, but we open our arms and we like welcome people to come and be a part of this family. That you would join who you are joining. And God, at the same time, we know that our commitment is not primarily to something that's got human origin. It's not just to an organization. It's to your church. And we are just one part of your church. Would you take just a minute? I'm just going to trust God. Would you take just a minute? Just put your hands on your heart. Just as a sign of God, come and just work in my life. It's not some magic thing. We're not trying to, you know, do Christian magic. Just as an act of, you know, faith and humility. God, would you come? And would you just teach us about what that passage in Ephesians 5 says? I'm so not qualified to try to teach it, but would you come and talk to us about that mystery? You, Daniel called you the revealer of mysteries. Would you come and be the revealer of mysteries in our heart? And God, I pray for a revelation of Jesus as the bridegroom. God, I fully understand that we, as one local expression of a church, don't make up the whole bride. We're just a part of the bride. But Jesus, I pray that a drawing would take place in our hearts to say yes to you as a bridegroom. I pray for a passion. Guys, if you've been hurt or disappointed by the church, as many of us have been, I just pray that even tonight, in saying yes to Jesus as a bridegroom, you would say yes to being a part of the bride. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't reserve right to judge. We wouldn't reserve a right to critique. But that we would just consider ourselves a part of this body that he is making a bride. So if there's been places of hurt or offense or disappointment, why don't you just take a minute. Just ask God to
empower you to release forgiveness. If I've hurt or offended you, or AOX has hurt or offended you, I just ask that you take time just to ask God that you'd be able to release forgiveness so that you don't feel like you're on the outside. That's really important, that you're not on the outside of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, committed as a part of this church. God, I just pray that there would no longer be orphans amongst us. God, that we would all know that we have a place at your table. And God, help us to live out the tension that we've been talking about today. And just those one-on-one relationships and knowing what that's like, and also being a part of something that's bigger. We recognize again, God, that we're not the big picture. We're just a picture within a picture. What you're doing in this city, what you're doing within this region, what you're doing in your people, we're just a part. But help us to be a growing up, maturing part. Now, God, I pray you would come and bless us with the light of your face. Would you lift up your face upon us, God? Thank you for what happened at the cross, to where now we get to come and have access to your very throne. Just pray the Lord would bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you, that you would know it. That you would walk in the favor of the light of the King's faces. Pray if there's anyone sick that is here, you would be healed. For those who are wounded, that you would be healed. God, we just give you glory. We ask for you to come and do a good work in us, for the seed that's in our heart, cause it to grow up. God, we didn't plant one kernel of corn to get one kernel of corn back. We pray that you would come and take, I ask that you would come and take what we've talked about these last 4 weeks. You'd make it into a seed that would bear forth fruit of the gospel in our hearts. So if you are ready to go, you are dismissed to go. So you don't have to do it tonight. But if you're like, hey, I want to be connected here in a way, I'd love you to stick with the pray with people that like are like, hey, this is where I'm considering myself like at home now. If you have any other needs, we want to pray for you. I just feel like you guys were praying tonight. God's doing good things. He's up to good things. I really love good things in specific parts. And so you are blessed to leave, but if you want to stay, you're also blessed to stay. And we'd love to pray with you and see what God has in store. All right? The rest of you have a great night. Have a great week. We will be sending out, by the way, if you are not getting text messages from us, and you want to, we are trying to work on a new text list, you will need this. There will be some special plans. A lot of us will be going for a wedding next weekend, so we'll be giving some special instructions about how like the schedule this week coming up. Okay. All right. See, Derek, if you want to start getting text messages.
You know what I'm I thought it was my boss, but I also thought that was my boss.
And it's going to hear it possibly.